It has just been a privilege to be able to be with you today. And I first met actually Pastor Sam Kim and Pastor Sam Song here somewhere, maybe outside the church, and they were getting ready to plant a church in Beijing. And we're asking questions about, now, what do we say to the authorities? And how big can we be without getting ourselves in trouble? And I know that with Solomon's Porch, Beijing, that God has just really blessed the fellowship there. I understand that Pastor Sam Kim has now gone to Singapore. Is that right? And I do look forward to seeing your pastor this coming week as we will be attending together the Global Church for a Global World Conference, which is really all about people just like you. And that is what God is doing in bringing internationals together and enabling us to form multicultural churches, places where we can worship Him with an understanding of that we, the body of Christ, actually come from all over the world. Well, today I would like to share with you just a few thoughts. I probably should begin by introducing my wife, Cindy. And she's back there. Cindy, could you stand up? And we've brought two friends with us today, Doug and Kim Bennett, and they're actually on their way to Bali to get involved with ministry there. And great to have them here today as well. I think we have a picture of Beijing, and for those of you that have been to Beijing, you'll know that it doesn't often look this way, does it? But that's the city that Cindy and I have been in the last 19 years. And what a privilege to serve the Lord there. Last October, we transitioned out. We've been feeling for about a year and a half that God was moving us on to a different ministry. Weren't exactly sure what that was. But the stories I'm going to share today, in large part, are actually from our work and ministry there in Beijing. The next slide is a slide of a typical picture with a lot of Chinese young people. And Cindy has been working the last 6 years on a new youth curriculum. And God has just given us favor there with government. And we've been able to do a lot of publishing through the Chinese church, which we are grateful for. And pray with us as this printing project for youth curriculum is just about ready to go to print now. In China. Well, as we look at the scriptures today, we're going to find three words that just pop out to us. And those three words are the words love, sacrifice, and life. Love, sacrifice, and life. And if we could look at John 3:16 together, we read there, "For God so loved the world," love, "that he gave his one and only Son, sacrifice, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God so loved that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Love, sacrifice, and life. God is on this mission, a mission that flows out of his love for the world, a mission that has Jesus at the very center of it, and a mission that moves people from a place of death into life. I think sometimes we think that the church has a mission, or that Solomon's Porch has a mission, or that John and Cindy Davis have a mission, but really only God has a mission, and he invites us to come and be a part of his mission. He's given us that great commission to go into all of the world and to preach the gospel and to make disciples of all nations. Again, John 3:16, it's God's mission. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now let's read that together in Chinese and see how well you guys do. And you can read it in Cantonese if you're Cantonese, but I'm going to try to read it in Mandarin. Here we go. Together. Shen ai shi ren, shen zhi jiang ta de du sheng zi ci ge ta men, jiao yi qie xin ta de bu zhi mian wang fan de yong shen. Wow, you guys did great. Whether we read John 3:16 in English or in Chinese, it has the same message, and those three wonderful words come just leaping out at us. God's mission is a mission of love. God's mission is a mission that involves sacrifice. God's mission is a mission that brings people from death unto life. Well, let's first look at love. And here is our action item. Ask God to pour his kind of love in. Ask God to pour his kind of love in. Again, our text says, for God so loved the world. 1 John 4:16. God is love. And we know that people everywhere are looking for love. And God's mission is a mission that is all about love. Our text says, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loves the world. God loves everyone. Well, in Beijing, we've been pastoring these last 19 years. I think we actually have a picture of the fellowship. And in our fellowship, we have Russians and Mongolians, Indonesians, Filipinos, Koreans, Japanese, Africans, South Americans, and of course, a lot of Chinese. And I can tell you from personal experience, it doesn't matter what tribe someone may be from. It doesn't matter what language they may speak. It doesn't matter what nation they may have been born in. Across all cultures, there's this desire to be loved. People want to be loved, and God's mission is a mission about love. It hasn't been that long ago that at the end of the service in Beijing, two younger Asian women came forward, and the one Asian woman said to me, Pastor John, this is my friend that I've brought to church today. She wants you to pray for her, but before you pray for her, you need to know that she's a Muslim. And I thought, well, what does that mean? Does it mean I pray differently? And I began to overthink, as we sometimes do. And I thought, do I use the name of Jesus? Is that going to be offensive? And so I began to pray for this woman that wanted prayer. And as I began to pray, she just began to sob. I mean, sob, crying, just something was happening. And in that moment of prayer, I realized that God's love was being poured out into her heart right then and there. And I stopped and I said, are you here today because you want to receive Jesus? Yes, 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 I want to receive Jesus. It's kind of like, Pastor, what are you waiting for? And I thought, well, she's been a Muslim. I said, do you understand that Jesus has died upon the cross for you, that your sins might be forgiven? Yes, yes, I know all of that. I just want to receive Jesus into my life. And so I led her in the sinner's prayer. And she experienced that wonderful thing that happens when the new birth comes, and left that day knowing the reality of having God in her life. God's love was there ministering to her. And it doesn't matter whether our background is one of being a Muslim or being a Buddhist or an atheist. It doesn't matter if we're Korean, Mongolian, or American. God's mission is a mission of love. And people are looking to experience God's love. And when God invites us into his mission, he invites us into a mission that's all about sharing his love with others. Now, I can tell you from personal experience that it's not always easy to love everyone. In Beijing, the Chinese in general are very easy to love. I mean, they're open-hearted. They are quick to want to make friends. But there are some in China that have been hard for me to love. And I'm thinking about the police, and I'm thinking about the officials that I sometimes have to deal with. You know, the police have canceled our events. They've showed up when we didn't want them to show up. They've busted our women's conference. They've sent some of our people home, and it's not, I guess, difficult to find yourself not really loving them, but more seeing them as the enemy. But one day the Lord spoke to me very clearly, John, I do not want you to see the police or the government authorities as the enemy. I want you to see them as the target of my love. And I began praying for them. And I began just really asking the Lord, calling their names out to the Lord by name. God, would you bless them? And I think that as that happened, something began to change in our relationship with the government officials and with the police there in Beijing. Paul says to us in Romans 13, he says, "Do you want to be free of fear from the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you, for he is God's servant to do you good." And I began to latch onto that truth. God, these policemen, these officials, they, by faith, I can see that they are your servant to do us good. Well, this last Easter, a year ago, 2015, I got myself in trouble. And you know, at Beijing, at our fellowship, not just anyone can show up and come in. We have men that are standing at the door that are checking to see who you are. I don't like to use the word passport, but we do have to check some kind of foreign ID to prove that those coming in have been abroad or that they're married to a foreigner. And Easter came, and usually we would pass out invitation cards that our congregation would invite their friends for Easter Sunday service, and we would always put on there for foreign ID holders only. But I told the staff, don't put that phrase for foreign ID holders only. Well, that was quickly interpreted as, Pastor John has said that we can invite anybody we want on Easter Sunday morning. And they began to take pictures of those invitation cards with their smartphones and send them out. And it just began to blanket the city. And I felt this kind of twinge on Saturday before Easter Sunday when I woke up. John, you're praying for these officials. You're saying that you're working with them, but you're sort of pushing the limit here on what really you're allowed to do. And I just kind of felt that sense of twinge in my spirit. And then at 6 that evening, the night before Easter, the Religious Affairs Bureau's calls. We know what you're doing. The police have intercepted on social media all these invitations that you're sending out to our local people. You know, Reverend Davis, you can't do that. Tomorrow, there are going to be 3 government entities monitoring what you do as far as who you're letting in the service. You know, I did not feel fearful. I felt a little anxious because I knew so many people had been invited, not really knowing how to handle that. And I just felt the Holy Spirit speak to me, John, don't try to come up with an idea or a policy. Don't ask a staff member to take responsibility for this. Tomorrow, you be at the front door, and I will tell you what to do. So I got up on Easter Sunday morning, went to the church around 8 o'clock, 8:15 was standing out there, looked around for the presence of the police or the public security or the Religious Affairs Bureau, and I couldn't see them anywhere. I didn't know if they were off in a distance monitoring us with binoculars, and people started showing up, and I thought, well, you know what? If they come and they have an invitation card, I don't need to ask whether they have foreign ID or not. As long as the police aren't bothering us here, I'm just going to let them in. Well, eventually they did show up. We continued to let people in if they had an invitation card. I said, do you want to come in and ask these men and women what it is that, you know, whether they're foreigners or married to foreigners or not? And the officials said, no, you're doing just fine. And I think what had happened is that because of love being expressed, because we were in relationship with the officials, even though they knew that we were pushing the envelope a little bit, they really didn't care. God's message is a message of love. And it doesn't matter if it's a communist official or a policeman. Men and women are looking for love. And when we understand that God's mission is all about love, and the work that we do is one that flows out of love, God gives us favor in a very special way. Again, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. His mission is a mission focused on love. The second action item is this: let God's love in you lead to a sacrificial expression of that love. Let God's love, we ask God, would you pour your love into me? I know that in myself I can't love the way you want me to love. God, would you pour your love into me? And after he's poured his love into us, we ask of the Lord for him to lead us into a sacrificial expression of that love. Again, our text says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Out of God's love, there flowed a great sacrifice, the sacrifice of giving his one and only son. God's kind of love at work in us will always lead to sacrifice. As you and me engage with God's mission, there will always be sacrifice. Jesus said, John 15:13, "There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends." Jesus said in John 12:24, "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man that hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me." And I know that as you and I have met the Lord, and as you and I have made this decision to follow him, that the Lord will often come to each of us in his own unique way and share for you and for me what it means to follow him, to share with us what exactly it means for us to walk in obedience to him. Jesus, he calls us unto himself. He calls us to die with him. His calling is one that leads us to a place of complete surrender under his will. And for some, our sacrifice may be leaving our families behind. For some, our sacrifice might be a change in the kind of lifestyle that we live. For some, God may call us to the ultimate sacrifice of giving up our life completely and going to another location in order to see our lives poured out that others might live. God's kind of love is a love that leads to sacrifice. I've stood at the gravestones of multitudes of missionaries in China. And one of the privileges I have had as pastoring in China is to be invited to Chinese churches. And as I show up to many of the Chinese churches, the pastors want to show me the missionaries that 100 years before had actually come and pioneered many of those churches. And there'll be gravestones. Sometimes it's the gravestone of a missionary child. Sometimes it's the gravestone of a missionary wife. Sometimes it's the gravestone of the missionary themselves. And you realize that there have been sacrifices that have been made in order for men and women to know life. And the great revival that we see in China today is that where seeds have fallen into the ground and died. And the Holy Spirit has blessed that ministry, those ministries, and they have then sprung to life. This tombstone picture here is of Hudson Taylor's tombstone outside of Nanjing. I was looking at missionary tombstones on the internet and came up with one of a lady named Ruby Kendrick, who died in Korea in 1908, and just this thought, 1,000 lives to give to Korea. Lord, if I had 1,000 lives, I should give them all to Korea. And how that God just begins to stir us with his love to bring us to a place in which there's no sacrifice too great for us to be able to share what God has done for us with others that are in need, knowing that that sacrifice leads to life. I heard Jackie Pollinger once say, "When I make it into heaven, I want to enter in bloody and bruised, having fought a good fight." And isn't that what God does with us? He puts within us a warrior spirit. He calls us to himself, and he sets us on a trajectory in which we're no longer satisfied living the easy life or living the comfortable life, but we're wanting to live the life that for him that brings people from a place of death unto life. Our last thought from John 3:16 is this: with God's help, let's connect the dots between sacrifice and life. With God's help, let us really understand how that it is through sacrifice that men and women are able to come to life. Again, our text, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Love leads us to sacrifice, and sacrifice then leads to life. It was back in the 90s when we began helping place men and women in China, and we were primarily placing teachers of English. And we received a letter from a girl in Australia named Katrina Westwood. And Katrina said, I'd like to come to China, but I feel like God is calling me to work with orphan children. Well, those of you that are aware of what was happening in China in the orphanages in the early 90s would know that the conditions in China's orphanages were something that the government would rather hide and not really let people know. And so I said to Katrina, you know, orphanage work is really sensitive, but if you're willing to come on a student visa, we can get you into China and you can pray and just ask God to open the door for you to be able to work with orphan children. So Katrina came and we got her a student visa at Yunnan University. And she began to study Chinese, and as the Lord would have it, she met a local policewoman, and that local policewoman turned out to be very influential in the city and was able to get Katrina access into the Kunming Municipal Orphanage. Well, as Katrina began to go to the orphanage, one of the first things that she discovered was that the staff literally believed that the orphan children were better off dead than alive. That as they looked out to those orphan children's future, all they could see was they had no hukou, no residence. They probably would be begging on the street, would be looked down upon for their whole life. And in the minds of the staff, it just seemed like it would be better off for them to not live than to live. And the care that they were receiving was reflective of that, and the mortality rate was exceptionally high. Well, Katrina began to win the support of the staff, the trust of the staff, and I remember when we got the message in Hong Kong, she said, they've told me at the Kunming Municipal Orphanage that if we have the money to buy formula, we can buy formula. If we have the money to buy a wash machine, they'll let us buy a wash machine so that we can actually wash the soiled diapers and wash the soiled bedding. And the conditions in the orphanage began to change. And as the conditions in the orphanage began to change, I think we have some pictures, the babies began to live. And it's just a delight to be able to say today that there are literally young men and young women alive this morning because Katrina Westwood was willing to go to Kunming, China, and to work in that orphanage. And she was able, through God's grace, to move children that were destined for death into a place of life. And her modeling that love began to change the attitudes of the orphanage staff themselves. So we understand that Katrina's life just illustrates so well how that when God's love gets into us to the point that we're willing to make a sacrifice for Him, in that sacrifice of going, in that sacrifice of sharing, in that sacrifice of loving, people are moved from a place of death unto life. Our text says, once again, whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It's a sobering thing for us to think that you and I have been given the very words that enable someone to come to know eternal life. We read in 1 John 5:12, He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And I close with these thoughts. I think sometimes after we've come into the kingdom of God and after we've known the peace that God has given us, that we forget how desperate people are outside of Christ. Some of you perhaps can remember before you met Jesus how that fear would often control your life. I know in Beijing we see a lot of fear. Fear of the number four. Just when you haven't come to a place of understanding that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, fear is often there. I've been to the crematorium in Beijing many times there at Babaoshan. And when you go to Babaoshan, a city of 20 million people, there are a lot of people that are actually passing every single day. And because of the huge numbers of people, of course, they don't bury the dead in China. They have the ceremony usually at Babaoshan there in Beijing, and then from there the bodies are burned. And being there, usually with a much more peaceful sense because of it being people that we've known that have known the Lord, you can be there and the rooms are so close together, you can hear others that have not known Jesus, others that have lost a father or a mother or a son or a daughter. And when they're saying goodbye, they're saying goodbye with a hopelessness of no understanding that to have Jesus is to have life. And you can hear the cries of the living as they're saying goodbye to the dead with no hope. And it's something that you never forget. And you begin to understand that apart from having the Son, apart from understanding God's word and God's love, those that have not yet heard are living in a place of desperation, a place of fear, a place of darkness when it comes to the message that God has given us to share. And I'd like to show you a picture of a couple. I think we have a picture of Blake and Laura from Xi'an. And just to say that there was an older couple, the Winchesters. He was in his 60s. He had been a professor. He probably would have been, I know he would have been much more comfortable just staying in America and enjoying his retirement. But God put something in him and Lorraine's life in which God's love just said, you know, we can't just sit here. We can't just stay here. We're not going to spend the rest of our days just living a comfortable life. God wants us to go and to make the sacrifice that is needed in order for men and women in China to know that Jesus loves them. And they went, and through the doors that they were able to see open, this couple eventually came to know the Lord. And Blake and Laura today are not in fear of death. They could care less if they have a 4 in their telephone number or not. They have come to know Jesus, and they have come to know his peace and the life that he gives. In fact, the challenge that Blake and Laura are giving for us now is they want to go to Africa, and they want to share with the Chinese that are there. So we once again close with this thought from John 3:16. God so loved, and he pours his love into us, that he was willing to pay the ultimate sacrifice of giving his Son. And because Jesus was willing to make that sacrifice, you and I have been able to come to know life. God speaks to you and I today about love, about sacrifice, and about life. He calls us to participate in his mission and to follow in his pattern and his plan, that others might come to know the reality of who Jesus is. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Well, we're going to ask the worship team to come at this time to lead us in a song of worship. And I understand you do have a prayer team here as well. Is that right? Okay, well, what I'd like to do is during the time that the worship team is playing, just to give an opportunity for those that would like to receive prayer today. And Cindy, would you come and join me up here as well? And if you're here today and you're wanting to receive from God the discipline to completely surrender to him, or if you're desiring of the Lord just a fresh touch from him, I'm going to invite you to come, and we'd be happy to pray for you today. And then after that, we're going to have Pastor Ricky come and close us in prayer. Doug and Kim, would you come forward? You'll be leaving soon, and we want to pray for you too. Okay. So if you'd like prayer this morning, feel welcome to come forward for prayer, and then we're going to ask Pastor Ricky to close the service.
Thank you so much, Pastor John, for your message. And, you know, as Pastor John was preaching, Psalm 51:12 came to me, and it says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you." For me, I was actually kind of convicted. And I felt like God was asking me, "Ricky, when was the last time you ran after my mission?" And I mean, I'm a pastor, and I'm doing these things and whatnot, but there's still a part of us sometimes that makes it easy for us to coast through what God's called us to do. And so a challenge I kind of want to bring to us here is, when's the last time we asked for God to bring us the charge? When was the last time we decided to live for something more than ourselves? And so as Nate leads us in a song, let's just respond to God and ask Him, "Lord, what is your mission that I may join into it and to step out of my own comfort and to serve you?" Yeah? Let's pray.
Feel free to come forward if you want to receive prayer. Pastor John, Pastor Ricky, and other pastors will be able to pray for you. Let's respond to the word that was given. I will offer up my life in spirit and truth, pouring out the oil of love as my worship to surrender. I must give my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart.
You deserve
my every breath, for you've paid the great cost, giving up your life to death, even death on a cross. You took all my shame away, there defeated my sin, opened up the gates of heaven, and have beckoned me in. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart. Sing, I will offer up.
Why don't we rise to our feet? And I'm going to ask Pastor Nate to sing this song one more time, but I really feel like God is releasing destinies up here and maybe to you guys as well. Let me encourage you that if you feel, one of my experiences that I remember in the church was a missionary came to speak, and he talked about maybe God is calling you. Maybe he's going to call you into China or Africa or whatever the case may be. And I remember sitting there and I had this feeling in my heart and I was shaking. And I was saying, no, not me. And I remember the missionary pastor said, hey, don't worry. If you're sitting there and you don't feel nervous at all, don't worry. God's not calling you. Not right now. But if you're sitting there and you're feeling that something in your heart and you're feeling like, oh, God, don't speak to me. No. He actually said, actually, I think the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. It's because your heart knows that there is a calling on your life. And so let me encourage you, as we continue to pray in this way up here, and as Nate leads us one more time, if you feel that tugging in your heart, don't just dismiss it. Say, God, I may not want to right now, but show me what it is that you desire, and I will go. And as we sing one more time, if that's not you, you know, I just want to encourage you just to extend your hands and to pray for our friends that it's up at the front, because God is speaking to them. Yeah, and so why don't we just sing one more time and we'll end the service.
You deserve my every. You deserve my every. For you pay the great cost, giving up your life today, even death on a You took all my shame away, there defeated my sin, opened up the gates of hell, and have beckoned me in. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a tell, not even in part. what can I give? Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a King? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this.
So let me pray for us. If you are ministering up here or you continue to need prayer, I just want to continue to invite people. If you want to come and get prayed for, just come. But we will pray and then release you. And so God, we thank you, Lord, for your word, God. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us enough, God, to come and die for us. Lord, renew the joy of the salvation in us, God. Help us remember, Lord, what it was like before we knew your peace, before we knew your love, God, so that we can go, Lord, and to bring the same love and peace to others. And so, Lord, I just want to pray for my friends, God, who may be receiving, God, the calling and destiny from you right now. I pray, will you just seal it into their hearts and their souls? Father, will you encourage them, God, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling that they've received? Help us, God, to throw off every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us, God, and let us run with perseverance the race that's been marked out for each and every single one of us. Lord, help our spirit connect to the Holy Spirit, Lord, so that it may guide us, Lord. He may guide us, Lord, in our bodies and our souls into the mission of God, Lord, that you've called each and every single one of us to. Forgive us, God, when comfort has taken over. Forgive us, Lord, when our lives have simply become our goals. And help us, Lord, to do your mission, God. We thank you, Lord, and we love you, God. And so may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and to give you peace, shalom, from this day forward, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great Sabbath.